We left off yesterday. We didn't quite make it to Envy Reim, so I want to let's recap where we've been. I want to see the last movements of the Reim. There's a lot to process from yesterday also. And then also I have a treat, as it were for you, of Vilna Gaon, about the most frequent halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Machlok is a machaber of Vilna Gaon. I think you will agree once you see it. It is hands down the most frequent halacha and Shulchan Aruch that comes up more frequently in your life than probably any other. And that gra would have been incredibly shver. I think the Urim, with the Urim in mind, I think maybe yet another issue that the, perhaps yet another issue that the Urim deals with. Okay, so Nachama, so the Urim had been dealing with what? He'd been dealing with Tosis's kashas. The Reim had actually been more explicit than the Tosafot Daf Yomi Beis about the kashas. What were the two kashas? Number one,
right?
How could it be? Do you hold of Masora? Do you hold of Mikra and Masora? Do you hold of Mikra? Which one is it? The Stiras and Sugas. A two-way Stira, a three-way Stira. I refer to the two-way Stira. Because in Sanhedrin, he says the Yishayim. The Gemara assumes he says Yishayim on Mikra, and yet by Matzah in the second paragraph of Psachim, it's which? It's both. Right? So, good. And what did Tosa say to that? What did Tosa say to that? Both. Neither one is rejected. They're both important. The whole machlek is only a detail of machlek is what are you doing when they're in conflict? Excuse me. Right. And then we spoke a little bit yesterday about, 2 days ago, and about the other half of the Stir and Rebbe Kivas. Right? Tosis had turned us to the Gemara in the second, third parak of Sukkah about Lulav and Kapas, and there it's Rebbe Kivas, one of the Tanam who explicitly holds you have one Lulav, both Rebbe Kiva and Rishmal, and yet Rav Tosfah and Ravina are discussing the Makkah for that din. They don't mention Rebbe Kiva by name, but they are discussing the Makkah for that din. It is a din that has both Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Shmuel's name attached, and yet he says Masoros. Again, in line with Yosef Engel, it's actually important. And Gaon never said the word Yeshayim Masoros there. The Gaon just said Kapask said. The post is willing to assume that means Yeshayim Masoros, which again, as an aside, lends more strength to that Yosef Engel with which we began this discussion a couple days ago. I didn't base it. Oh, there are another 17 examples of this machlokes, albeit without the terminology Yeshayim like Yeshayim Masoros. So it's also doing that. The Gemara Lama Beis didn't say the word Yeshayim Masoros, but the Gemara did say Kapask Siv. And for Tosis, that's good enough to mean that's the same as saying Yesh Eim Masoros. So that does lend strength to Yosef Engel's assertion that just because we don't name it as such doesn't mean it isn't such. And he spends time on how Tosis would solve that as well. Even though it's only Masoros because both Masoros and Mikra are live options. You look at the Tosis of Psachim, there's a reason why in this particular case the Masoros is better than the Mikra because of the Hekesh to Esek. Your brother. What was the other Kasha Tosfos was handling with? Aside from the question from Makoros, from Lashon, the Kasha's mi Gemara, Stir between Gemaras in terms of individual Tanam, whether Rebbe Kiva hold or Rebbe Shimon hold, the other larger question, Misvara, was. What was the question, Misvara, that Tosfos and Urim both dealing with? Tatos didn't deal. Yeah, so that's what we were wondering. Good. And what did Tosis ask explicitly? Barak? Oh, I thought you had Okay. Yeah. What do you do? How you talking that nichtav al chinam? What do you mean? How you talking that there are two ways of saying that kashim is var? Either. Could any Tana say that Mikra doesn't matter? Could any Tana say that the Ksiv doesn't matter? Hayitachin. Or alternatively, for what was it written? Fashtetzech, it's important. Like Rosh Hashanah wrote the Chumash. Because Bo gave us the Chumash, and he wrote Kapas, Kaf Pei Tav, and he told us as pronounced Kapos, but those are both important statements. Those are both profoundly meaningful statements. What do you mean we're going to ignore it? So that also tells us, no, usually we darshan both, but we can't, then we don't. Then we saw the Urayim has a different take. We saw already a lot of Chidushim. The Urayim said he's going to teach by example. He's going to teach, was it deductively? Is that inductively? Inductively, which is which? But he's going to teach by example. He said, I have a gevalik mahalach, and let me show you an example. We got lucky, Baruch Hashem, Yishamayim Kazachino, that his example is our example, and says, watch me, and then you can apply the same approach. So we were watching him carefully. I was having this conversation with some of you the other week. There are different styles in sheer giving. Different rabbeim have different styles in terms of sheer giving. So some are very explicit about exactly what they're doing. They're very, very forward and direct about Derech Halima. Oh, this is a massive kasha, and the way to answer a kasha is to use tool X and tool Y and tool Z, and here's the Torah. And others have the halach of just teach Torah. And if you watch, so then you try to chazer and figure out what happened, and you begin to reconstruct what the Rebbe's Derech Halima is. And some are more explicit about Derech Halima, some are more implicit about Derech Halima. This is actually an interesting sort of blend here. The Urayim says, I want you to watch what I'm doing. I'm going to go through a sugya, you're going to watch what I'm doing, and then figure out what I did so you can figure out how to do it elsewhere. And the truth is, as we saw yesterday, we're working through, yesterday we focused on the Urayim's treatment of Basukas. So nice that we saw that why we had to, he is incredibly Makudish, but we had to sort of zero in on a lot of the contributions that he was making. So what did we see? Listening, Chazer and Shir from our Rebbe Yerim. And he said, remember that he said that it's driven by, the one thing he said to Farish, what was the one thing he said to Farish right away? Right off the bat, before you even got into anything? Right, it's all about how you read. It's not a machlokus over the rules of drushes. It's going to be a machlokus about, the nekudas machlokus is going to lie in Hebrew issues. Right? And after you saw yesterday, when he was breaking down the Gemara's first washing on Vav and Vey, the machlokus of Shimon and Chacham about what, about the number of walls in a sukkah, sorry, is a Yeshim and Mikra Yeshim and Masores. The Rebbe said it's really my focus over what's most shver and where do you start? What do you see is more strange, the way it's the spelling or the pronunciation? So Rabbi Chacham, he started with Chacham, and the Chacham wall only three walls because they hold Yishem la Masoras. So they're dashing the spelling. Why they're dashing the spelling? Not because spelling in general is more important, the way Tosfos seems to apply. But why? Because the spelling in here has to be really strange. Because they thought that's a totally awkward, non-standard way. That's not the right spelling of sukkos. You don't spell sukkos without a vav before the tav. Is this wrong? That's bad Hebrew. You would have gotten, if you had been taken a spelling test 2,800 years ago, in the days of the Bais Rishon, so the teacher would have marked you wrong. Because if you wrote Samach Kav Tav for sukkos, you say that's wrong. That's not the way you write sukkos. You have to write with a vav. That's the only way you can write it with a vav. So, oh yeah, of course you wouldn't be writing kudos, because kudos weren't invented there at that point. I mean, the sounds were, but the notation had not yet been invented. You would write Samach Kav Vav Tav, gevav, you get a check. Write Samach Kav Tav, according to Chavin, you've gotten an X, a red dot. That's not the way you spell sukkah. It's not a standard spelling. It's shver. If it's shver, then it's darshanable. We'd love to darshan both the pronunciation and the spelling, but if in the hecha de mitchashia adadi, when they're in conflict, that much of Tosfos Urayim accepts, so then the one that's going to rise to the top and from a drusha perspective is going to be what? Is going to be the spelling. While the pronunciation, where it's Reb Shimon, let's put it, do a little differently than they did. Whereas Reb Shimon would say, no, the spelling I'm okay with. The pronunciation is really strange. Meaning, the use of what strikes Reb Shimon as the most awkward about the phrasing of this pasuk is the fact that you're using a plural. You should sit in sukkos. You should live in houses. How many houses do you live in at one time? leave your head over here and your hands over there. But I mean, you, in Erevin, I left my food there, so you let live there. Okay. But that's an awkward way to talk. So it should be, that's very bizarre. You should live in sukkos. You should live in houses. Live in sukkos? No, live in a sukkah. What type of plural? So from Shimon, that's very, that's mud. That's strange. If it's strange, then darshanable. If it's awkward, so Kersh Baruch was saying, this is an anomaly that you're going to pick up on, and that's going to be the most darshanable part of this word. It's going to be the pronunciation, the plural sukkos. The usage is strange. The spelling, Rabbi Shimon says, is not so strange. Okay. Rabbi Shimon thinks, look, a lot of words are spelled chaser. That's not so strange. You have a double machlokas in Hebrew. A double machlokas in Hebrew class between Rabbi Shimon and the Chacham. One machlokas is whether it's strange or normal, maybe a miut, but a normal miut, to spell sukkos with chaser vav. To just use a tough as a plural instead of a vav tough. And a machlokas, is it strange or not? Is it strange or not strange to use a plural in this way? To say you should live in sukkah. So yes, right? Say, if I tell you should be the guy who gets his wife presents, so I don't mean necessarily, Reb Shimon would say that means you should get your wife multiple presents at one time. So I would say, no, that could mean you should be the guy who gets his wife presents. Over the course of rich and many happy decades of marriage, you'll buy many presents. Not all the time. You buy one this time, buy one that time, buy that time. Over the course of time, you have a lot of presents. So that's a machlokas in usage, a machlokas in syntax, and a machlokas in spelling. And depending on which one you think is more bolay, which one sticks out more, which one's more of a sore thumb, that'll be the one that you darshan. Yeah.
So, like, how is it? It seems to be like very like. Okay. Just like, what's right, how do you, like, what the norm of a word is. Like,
correct.
Isn't that a little strange? It's, that you're even putting it as, like, such a, like, the Chacham say the normal thing to do is this, and they didn't know what to do, and Rav Shimon says the normal thing to do is that. It seems like
what's
very,
that,
it seems very Matthias.
What's wrong with Matthias?
You think should there be a standard? Like, someone has to be right.
I mean, like, there is a norm there that was there at the time. Like, what's it?
Yeah. But you're asking like this. You're saying that the Yerushalmi and Chala said, Mishnah Chala had machlekes. Let me tell you what Meir is asking. Meir is asking as follows. Meir is asking, the first Mishnah Chala has the machlekes. Are you allowed to eat rice matzah on Pesach? Meaning, if we have yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah by eating rice matzah, leil haseder. Machlokes, atanan, the first mission in Chala, second mission in Chala, whether there are five official grains or six official grains. For all sorts of lechem purposes. For hafrashas Chala, for matzah, and so on and so forth, for pasako, is always on the list or not. So machlokes atanan, most, one Tana says yes, and all the other Tanam said no. So the Gemara talks a little bit about it. Yerushalmi talks about more. What's the issue? The issue is really, does rice make chametz? Because the Gemara Pasuk has a hekesh between not eating chametz and the mitzvah to eat matzah. So the implication is, it's in the same Pasuk as the hekesh, the implication is those things which can become chametz are those things which qualify as matzah. If I'm going to make matzah out of potato starch, it's not chametz, but it's not. I can't be making the mitzvah matzah with that because it couldn't become chametz. Those things which can become, wheat could become chametz, barley could become chametz, spelt could become chametz. So if I make sure they don't become chametz, then it's kosher for the mitzvah of matzah. How about rice? So machlokes is hatanah. So Yerushalmi says exactly Meir's kasha. How did you argue about mitzias? Not that we don't like mitzias, not that Chazal were highly abstract people who just wanted to philosophize and not get involved with mitzias. Chas v'shalom, that's it. I said, I've got A, because one of the Shas and notice, that's not the case. And B, that's one of the first I got us in Shas. As David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm so proud, all the kings, Malchim, Ezra, Pramayer, they're busy just boasting about their wealth, whereas I am busy with important things. He says, I am, getting my hands dirty, trying to work through practical Shas. Yodai Melech Lach is Badam Shvir V'Shilvim. Afar Shetz, of course, because Halach is clinical, of course, Chachmei Torah cared very much about Matthias, but they wouldn't, Adrabah. Matthias is so important and so determinable that you wouldn't just leave it as a machlokas, you figure it out. Right? That's exactly what he's saying. Experiment. Like Gemara said, why didn't they experiment? Which the Yerushalmi Gim Chala says, they did. They weren't lazy. Holy Tanan. They went to the kitchen, they went to the lab, and they experimented. They tried making rice dough. The problem was that it wasn't clear. Machlokas was, how do you categorize the results? Because if you take wheat and make wheat dough, so it rises, explodes. You take potato starch and make dough, nothing happens. It just sits there. You take rice and you make dough, so they tried it, and it did something. But it didn't exactly, it wasn't exactly this, and it wasn't exactly that. Yerushalmi says that the other Tanaim said, one Tanaim said, yeah, that's chimutz. Maybe not quite as robust a chimutz and wheat or barley, but that's also called chimutz. And the other Tanaim said, no, that's not chimutz, all that's sirchum. That's spoiling. That's a different process. That's not mugdar as chametz. And that's the source, if you've heard the nusach of machlokas and shiurim, it's not machlokas and tzitzis, machlokas and shiurim, that's mucker for that Yerushalmi. It can't be that just Machlokas and Metzias, they just didn't bother experimenting, they just didn't bother investigating. No, but sometimes you can investigate and find the facts. And the Shaila is how you categorize in a lot of categories. That's a halach Machlokas. I said that's presumably what you're asking. How you tachin become Machlokas and Metzias, why don't you just go be Mevar? A great question. A fantastic question. The answer probably is, historically, because they lived a couple of centuries too late. The biblical Hebrew is no longer a spoken language. And we know, as you know from looking, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I think Daphne Ruchas also says Beferish, the Tanan and Aram were well aware of the fact that Hebrew had evolved, and that the Shneik Hebrew is not the same as biblical Hebrew. Beferish Gemara, Lashon Torah Luchud, Lashon Chacham Luchud. So it's not good. We spell that, for instance, spelling. So the spelling is very different. The spelling is very, very different. The usage is very, very different. Give you one easy example. One easy example, something you've known all your life and you probably never thought about. If you want to see how different Mishnah, Kibra, and Biblical Hebrew are, how do you say that man? Don't be that guy. The Chumash says that sometimes. Don't be that guy. There's nothing funny about it. Just don't be that guy is going to get cursed. But how do you say that man? That, not this man. Hayisha who? In what type of Hebrew? Which one? Tanakh or Mishnayis? Tanakh. Right? How do you say Mishnayis? That man? It's a very famous phrase with an incredibly derogatory connotation. The way you say it in Mishnaic Hebrew, that man, is a euphemism for Yeshu. Oso Hayish. How do you say that day? Oso hayom, bo bayom, is in language of Mishnah. In Tanakh, you say bayom ahu. Right? So that's a very simple. The way we use s changed dramatically. The way we use s in Tanakh is largely gone in Mishnayis. How do you say that? The person that I want to meet. Asher, in which? Biblically Hebrew. Right. In Mishnayis, how do you say that? She. Right, it got changed. You find She a little bit in some layers of Sifrei Tanakh. It seems like they're already starting to use a sort of contract Asher to She. You have a little bit in Shir Ashirim. The Svarim that the Gemara says were edited by Chizkiyahu Agmaran in Bava Basri Dal Tezvav goes through who wrote what in Tanakh. But the Sifrei Shlomo, the Gemara says, seems like given final form by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu V'siyaso. The Gemara says. So at that point, they're already using She a little bit. In the Chumash, you're not going to find a She. You have one place in Shoftim, maybe. So once you notice it, it's all over. Once you notice a different, once you're attuned to it, you'll see it all the time. The most striking difference, of course, is a single letter that comes up all the time in Chumash and is never used this way in Mishnah. Well, yeah, which Vav? The Vav that switches past and future, all over Chumash, I don't think ever find it in Mishnah. That language changed. That's fine. Unless they're quoting the Pasuk correct. Thank you, Mr. Tucker. I appreciate your precision. So coming back here, Abosai. So that's what the Gemara says. Avodah Zarah Daf Lachas Lashon Torah Luchud Lashon Chacham Luchud. The Gemara there, I think, is talking about the fact that the plural of Rachel is either Rechelim or Rechelos, depending whether you're learning Chumash or Mishnais. If you're learning Chumash Brachos, it's if you're learning Mishnais, to take a look in Brachos Hagayis at the end of Maseches Chulin. So it's like, okay, many, many differences, and that I think, Meir, is the answer to your question. Right. In the Bais Rishon period, Yishayahu and his Chavrusa would not have had a machlokas about Yeshayim, according to the Urayim, about Yeshayim Luki Yeshayim Lasoras, because well, we know the Matthias. Right? Or we can talk to people if we don't know ourselves. But Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva and their contemporaries who are living after the Churban Bayis Sheni, they're living centuries after the Lashon of Tanakh, Lashon Torah, as the Gemara calls it, was no longer a spoken language. So right, but you're right. I think you make another point there, which is it highlights one of the differences between the approach of Tosas and approach of the Rei. The approach of the Tosas seems to be there's a fundamental question: what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Or what's the intent? What are the rules of drashas? So that's something you could argue on any day. And now let's see where he goes with this further. So here we are on the last page of the Urayim. Six lines from the top. Yeshon Lahashvos. That we saw yesterday also of the Urayim with dealing with Drash versus Pshat. Now let's pick up. Yeshon Lahashvos, Svaras Daikus Lashon HaEvri, Achare Svaras Masha'ir Yochov, Vasis Tam Lashino. We have to be sensitive to which is a proper usage of the Lashon HaEvri, the Hebrew language. By the way, in case you're wondering whether it's legitimate to refer to the language of Chumash as Hebrew, so there are also psukim in Tanakh that refer to the language of Chumash as Hebrew. And by Rav Shakeh, I think, in the end of Malachim, here it is. Here's a Rishon, who refers to it as Ivri, as Hebrew. As far as Mashiach, any of the lessons taught the change. You have to figure out what doesn't need a reason for what. Where is there a change that doesn't require explanation, and where is there a change that does require explanation? The im mechaser mikra im asores sover hashish vaseis tam la oso sheino dorish lama nishtana velo ledrasha. Whichever one you're going to chop on as the one you're going to darshan, the other one you're going to need to give a reasonable pshat explanation of why it's okay. Reb Shimon says the spelling is fine, that's a normal spelling. Maybe it's not so typical, but it's not abnormal to leave out the vav. And Chachamim say that for to use the plural in this context is normal usage. It means sukkos the alma, it means in general, not in this one moment you're multiple sukkos. Which Reb Shimon says, no, it does mean this one moment you're multiple sukkos. There is one wall, and there is one wall. Okay. So you have to give a reasonable explanation for one side, and the other side you get a darshan. V'chal makam shahal lomeh. And the Gemara explains, this is the Tana's approach. Or the Gemara raises a kasha. How you talking? Here you hold like this, here you hold like that. Like in Bukharos, Perikol Psulim. Like in the first paragraph of Sanhedrin, the Gemara is put them together. Yodeya Baal HaTalmud Shedaikus Shneihem Shaveh Be'ein LaHafrid B'Saras B'Svara B'Chisar and Os O B'Yisro No. Tosis said, now here the Ram is dealing with a major kasha, which now he takes the Tosis style of speaking, and instead of saying Vim Tomar V'Shlomar, he just sort of presents the teretz to the kasha in a single format. But the kasha really is a bomb kasha on the Urayim. The Urayim just told us that it's all has to do with, it's not a machlekes over the rules of drasha, it's a machlekes over Hebrew spelling, over Hebrew usage. And, therefore, point two, it's going to be a local machlekes. And you might hold in one place, because different words are different and different sentences are different. So okay, one pasuk you say, oh, here there's a divergence between mikra and masoras, and the mikra is really, really, really unusual, and therefore the mikra requires hesber. And over there, a different pasuk, you say, no, the masoras is really unusual. So once you say it's totally localized, and it's totally, there's, you don't have to have a global approach that I always hold the mikra, I hold the masoras. So the you hear me raving now essentially asking himself, that's very nice, except it's against the Gemara, which is a problem. And the Gemara seems to assume there's a certain wholeness to this. And the Gemara will sometimes ask Kashas, do you hold the Mikra, do you hold the Masoras, which one is it? The Gemara, you said, how do you seem to be putting them together? So the Rav says, that's a massive Kasha. That's why Tosfos was so bothered. That's why our Tosfos went on and on and on, all these theorists, because the Gemara implied, this is something we need consistency. Because if you need consistency, well, let's look at the dates. The Gemara lined up those machlokes, but not these. So the Rav says, no, don't worry, you have to be consistent. Every word is different. Every case is different. Every case is different. The Gemara didn't think so. He says, no, you have to understand. In the places where the Gemara made that point, if the Gemara equates to, or tries to equate to, and ends up having a kasha, and why aren't these aligned, that means Yodea Bar HaTalmud Shadaik Shneim Shabbat. Ve'en HaFrid B'sarat Chet B'chesron Oso B'Yisra No. That means that the Bar HaTalmud, the Amora who's speaking, understood that these two cases are identical, and there's no distinction to be made. Yeah, just as the detail, it seems like the Taos had the fuss. The double Lahafrid. That's what can you read. The way Reuven Margolius, when he gives you the whole Urim, he just knocks it down to one. He says, Aval Anu, and this, by the way, comes back to your point later. He says, the Amora knew a lot more, were much more sensitive to these issues than we are. We don't have the same Bikias in Hebrew as the Bali HaTalmud. We don't have the same feel for language that the Amoram did. We would do well not to ask more kashas. Because the kashas is Yireim's response to places. He says, fundamentally, they don't all have to be the same.
It's not when you study the one, not when you study Yishem Rikishem Masoris. It could be, I could say, it said, for instance, he said, every once in a while the issue is the same. So the Amara may have intuited that what you say about Sukkos, what you say about Karnos, for instance, going back to Gemara Sanhedrin, will probably be the same. That's probably intuitive to us also. It's a question of how do you write the plural? The masculine plural is Yudmen, and the feminine plural, Os, does it always have to be Vav Tav, or could it just be Tav? Or maybe they're not the same. I'll give you an example. How do you spell the Mitzrayim? Right. How do you spell Mayim? How do you spell Chaim? But if I did this, you would think that looks very strange. And if I added a Yud to Mayim, you would think that looks really bizarre. If I added you to Mitzrayim, you say Mayas Mitzrim, right? And by the way, in the language of Chumash, Mitzrim, it's Mitzrim and it only gets one Yud, right? It's in the language of Chazal, where it's Mitzrim, it gets two Yuds, right? Or Einayim, which by the way, in language of Tanakh would be like this, but in Lashon Chazal would be that. So these already don't line up. So that's interesting. We could work on why. But Chayim is spelled with that extra yud, whereas Mayim and Mitzrayim are not. So it's not self-evident what the spelling should always be. But so Yireim says Chazal are much more attuned to biblical Hebrew than we are. So he said if they in Sanhedrin, Daf Dalet, Shtel Tzu, put together the Sukkos and the Karnos, that means they understood it's the same issue. That intuitively appeals to us also. The question, how do you spell that plural? Is it okay? Is it legitimate to spell it just for the top? Does it always have to be above top? Okay. It says the Chazal were much more attuned to these issues than we are. So if they put it together, fine. They put it together and said, this is Lushitasam, great. If they put them together and said, we have a kasha, okay, that's a legitimate kasha.
Aval anu ein she'ein anu b'kiko b'alei ha'talmud. We don't have that same... He's not even talking about the degree of Talmud Torah. Here he's talking about the degree of familiarity with intuition of Hebrew. We don't have what the Amoraim had. Ein lo ha'ashras lo'ashras mizel hazeh. And then, wow. In Bach Chacham Lomar, it's rare to hear a Rishon be as sharp as your aim is about to be. How many people got to the very end of your aim? Okay. In Bach Chacham Lomar, Bach Yani, Venavon, if a Chacham shows up and says, I know Hebrew aim, well, lo kibin l'dvari azos. He didn't understand it, says here. Shekama Chacham Mishimashti, lo re'isim sham lo dasachet. I have been a Talmud of many Rabbeim, Yerayim says, was remit, and they weren't all on the same page with this. Kol efer boda lufi daito, v'gam boda yom kach l'machar kach. I think the most friendly way to translate that line is different Hamechachamim would speculate in different ways, and they might speculate one way today, different way tomorrow, or they're trying their best to make an educated guess, but no one, he said, no one is speaking with total confidence about the language of Tanakh. Kushos v'chalukos l'shon ha'ivri, such kashas and fine distinctions, chiluk you can make in the Hebrew language, b'havaros, b'chaser, he says, how she pronounced and how it's spelled, chaser mole, av kashen yipol, efo gzer achas. Even if it's the same shorish, even if it's the same mishka, the same format, shneim yochichu lomar bakyani, there are so many options, so many possibilities. I give you just a taste of the Chaim and the Mayim. Again, those who are grammatically censored might notice there isn't the one difference in not standard right away. There's a Dagesh in that first. Do it. Dagesh Chasmus. That gets you started thinking about what is the difference. There's so many permutations and so many fine distinctions. Hilka ko adam yiv lom piv mi lomer chachamti lashmosa. Wow. James says, a person should not speak. He should close his mouth and not ask, and not, James is saying, I think none of my contemporaries should be dealing with this issue. None of us have, again, based on the Rame's Mahalach and the Sugya, basically Rame's Mahalach and the Sugya, and the issue is not an issue of how to darshan, but an issue of Mitzias, as Meir pointed out, the Hebrew language. So, as Meir pointed out, The Amoraim were not as aware of Mitzias. They couldn't directly, the Tanakh couldn't directly be Mavar the Mitzias, which is why they are being holic about it. But then Yerayim says, Amoraim, we're entitled to an opinion. Yerayim says, we're not even entitled to an opinion. Where are we to say that these two things are alike? I can ask Akasha. Some things are alike, some things are not alike. Ein lahakshos l'smol ha'talmud midatinu. We should not. So this is an area where there's so much Mitzias at play that we're not familiar with, that's not within our ken to ask. Now, the other Baliatosis disagreed with the Yerayim, because Tos never said it with Feirish, but again, once you see the Yerayim, you look back in Chazar Tosis, you become sensitive to the fact that Tosis is disagreeing fundamentally and is assuming this is the issue of drashas. It's not an issue of Mitzias of the Hebrew language, and therefore it's a single global coherent issue. And every case needs to be the same. Either you hold Masoris is more important than Mikra in the world of Drasha, or the Mikra is more important than Masoris in the world of Drasha. So Mela, Baliatosis held that they could have such kashas, and they were left sometimes with Sarachian. Whereas the Rebbe Mitz held you got it all wrong. I disagree with you in terms of what's driving the sugya, and therefore, I even disagree with you about whether you're entitled to ask kashas. So, that's a move. That's the ring. So, I would love to take questions, and then I want to share with you, I want to wrap up the sugya with, I promise, something extra, or take a look at that from the Gong I mentioned before. Yeah. Right. I don't think that's a kasha. I think it is ironic. I think you're right. It's ironic in the following. It's ironic to say, here's one example, you can figure everything else from this, and then he goes on to say, every case is unique. I think you're right. There's a very delicious irony in that, which you get the impression from the style of is right, and he may have been very self-aware of that irony. But it's not schwer. In other words, he's not saying that you're going to be... So I said before, he wants us to look at how he's dealing with the sugya and derive certain klalim. Klal number one is that the fundamentally the issue is the issue of Hebrew. And number two, and therefore it's going to be different cases. There will be some cases which are identical, and many cases which are not identical. And then you can try to speculate as to what a Yahweh Machlekes HaTanaim of Yeshem Mikra Shem HaSaras in a particular case, so I can begin to think about, must be this time of thought that the spelling is very schwer for some reason, and other times I thought, no, the spelling is not so schwer, but the pronunciation, the usage, is very schwer. So I'm not going to that much, categorically, they're all the same. In terms of the details of content, they're different. So I'm going to have to fill it in content, but the approach is going to be the same. Yeah.
Can you explain again how Adar Ram answers the question about the consistency of the Gemara versus Mishnah?
Yeah. What he says is the Amoraim, if they put together three drushas, three psukim, and said, you see, these are all the same machlokes Yeshem Mekeshem Masoros, that means that Amoraim knew that the issues at play in terms of the difficulties in the spelling, difficulty of pronunciation, in those three psukim happened to be the same. And therefore, that was a legitimate trio to make. Either to say, Givaldik Slushitasam, or to say, hey, it's Takashmer, how come here you hold Mikri, there you hold Masoros? Because Amoraim saw what the issues were, and we're comfortable saying, in this case, we know what the issues are, and we know they're the same, and therefore any one Tana ought to either be saying Mikra in all these or Masoros in all these. And either he does, and that's Gevaldik, or he does, and that's Shver. But the Rambam says, but the Amoraim put those three together because they knew those three are the same. But you're going to bring in a fourth one, maybe there's a reason why the Gemara didn't mention that. Maybe because there it's a different set of spelling and pronunciation issues. So Mehechatesi, this is because a particular Tana holds Mikra over here, doesn't mean he has to hold Mikra over there. Here he holds Mikra because here he thinks that the pronunciation is very, very shver. The Kashan pronunciation and the pronunciation is daunting, and therefore pronunciation is anomalous, and therefore that's what we dash. Gevaldik. By that other word, unrelated, there he thinks the pronunciation is not so shver. So as he says, that's why he goes through that, spends several lines stressing that the Amoraim knew Hebrew, forget about Torah. The Amoraim, they also knew in ways that we don't. But he said, aside from that, they knew Hebrew in ways that we don't. So just because he's very explicit. He's very explicitly turning to other Rishonim and saying, don't think that you can say, oh, I know this is the same. This is the same also, and therefore it's Akasha. It's not Akasha. Number one, most of Baalitosis in general, their kashas aren't necessarily driven by even that the same type of word, because they're not assuming it has anything to do with the details of the spelling. It's just a question, do you follow primarily Mikra Masoros? So he says, number one, you have to look at the content of the particular word and the problems in the word, and who are we to say that these problems, those problems, are the same problems? Fundamentally, they're not all the same. That's his argument. The Gemara Tana puts it together, that's an exception. There it happens to be the same. But you can't generalize and say, you're always ultimate, you're always ultimate source. And that finally brings us as I said before, the most common din in Shulchan Aruch. What's the most common din in Shulchan Aruch? So you're thinking of, or most common din that comes up. Okay, let's leave out mitzvah tmidos. But that comes up most frequently. It comes up more separate times during the day than any other day, by far, is Siman Hay in Aruch Chaim. And it, by the way, it's a din. It's a little frightening to learn Siman Hay in Aruch Chaim because it's a din, not like a Midas Chasidus. And it's a din that probably comes up at least hundreds of times a day. If you're an Orthodox Jew who davens three times a day, and you say brachas, you say Hashem's name How many hundreds and hundreds of times? Rabu ein mispar. Maybe, it may easily be over 1,000 times a day. Right? So your brain, saying in general, speaking is supposed to be a combination of your mouth and your mind. A Jew should not speak without thinking. If you spend time with Meir Tversky, you get to see what that means, to think before you speak. Something very real. Particularly, saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, it should not be a mindless activity. Say the name of Ribbono Shalom. Say the name of Ribbono Shalom. Now, it strikes us, logically, now that we think about it, Lachor, we ought to be thinking something. Thank you very much. So you would think you ought to be thinking something, and indeed, we're obliged to think something. That's the third of the Aseret HaDibros tells us that one of the most fundamental ways that we express Yira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the way we interact with the saying of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Losisa specifically by using HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name for Shvuah Shav, but the Yisod HaDvarim is that one. If it's one of the most powerful ways we express Yira Shamayim. How do we interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? The Baruch Hashem, we don't swear Shvuah Shav. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name hundreds of times a day, we ought to have some meaning for it. Let's try it at least 5 times a day. Once a day. Once a week. In Mechavim, we say that Hashem's name. What should be Mechavim? What are you supposed to think about? But take a look at Shofar. Simen Hay. Simen Hay. Yechavim the Drachos, Meir Shavios. Number one, Shofar says, when you say a bracha, you should be thinking, you should be cognizant of what you're saying. That sounds like a good idea. In the same Baruch for 8, you should be aware of the fact that you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having created the universe, and in particular, this lovely apricot. And then he says, Kishi Yazgir Hashem, when you mention when you articulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yechaved Perush Kri Asal Ba'adnus Shu Adon HaKol. Number one, what are you supposed to have in mind? Hashem's name is an interesting one. But because you pronounce it Ado, or you spell it Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. So Mechaber says, you should have in mind, you should be focused on what the Kri means, Adnus, Shu Adon HaKol. Ado means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ado, he's the master of the universe. Yichaveh B'Ksiv Aso, you have to also have Kavanah for the Ksiv, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Hayahole Ve'iyeh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was eternal. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was transcendent and he's imminent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was beyond the whole universe, Hayahole Ve'iyeh. At the same time, he's involved with us, he's engaged with us, he's Adon HaKol. You have to think about both Kavan, if you talk, goes on to talk about what El Elokim means. The Gulagon is not a happy camping room. And both sides take a look. The Lagon, as you know, as you've seen in the past, in Rosh Hashanah, the Lagon tends to be very terse. Every once in a while, though, he decides to not be so terse, and this is one of those times. Think of the very bottom of the page, the first page, you see the last Be'er Adra, V'yechavim. You see that? Tur. Shofar says you have to have Kabbalah for the Shem Adlus and the Shem Havayah. For the way it's written, the way it's pronounced, the way it's written. So he says, that's the Tur. However, the Gom says, Hotzio midiver ben yonah sefer ha'yira. Where did the Tur get it from? The Tur is quoted earlier in Rishonah. Specifically, he's quoting Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah, the Chaver of the Rambam, the Rebbe of the Rajba, who is famous to us this season of the year for having written a Perush on Pirkei Avos, and also for having written on Brachas and Baba Basra, and also having written Sha'arei Tshuva, which is his most famous work of Machshav or Musar, but also there's also Sha'arei Tshuva is how to fix the problem. I did Averis, how am I going to go? Sha'arei Tshuva, a very extensive treatment of how to do Tshuva. All different perspectives. And then there's a much smaller Sefer, that this is for a couple of pages, that's usually printed at the end of this Sha'arei Tshuva. Sefer Ha'ira is what the ideal looks like. How my day should look. If my day doesn't look like that, then see Sha'arei Tshuva for how to fix it. But Sefer Ayira is how Yorei Shamayim's day ought to look. So he takes you through a lot of daily halachas. One of the things he writes this. Rabbi Yonah, Sefer Ayira is a source that is didn't appear in the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. You have to have kavana for both Adnos and Havaya. Shekase, it's a positive issue of the Kriyashma. Here again, the Bayard draws, right? See the Bayard draw?
Which one?
We just would turn from the first page to the second page. The last one. The last one on the first page, the Yechavim. See right over here on the first page, the Yechavim. This is according to the tour. The tour got it from Rabbi Yonah and Sefer Ayira. Shekosav Eitzel Pasuk Grisha Shebe Kriyashma. When he's talking, when he's taking you through your day, or any owner taking you through your day, he gets up to Kriyashma. Does he say Kriyashma? When he say Kriyashma, Yichavein, here we're on the second, turn the page, the top right at the beginning of the Be'er Agrav. V'chol Echa Mibay Shema, Sa'amur, Pasuk Rishon, Ya'arich Atsheyach Shav HaYehoviyah. He says, you're saying Kriyashma, you say the Shema Havaya twice in Kriyashma, in the first Pasuk, so you have to take enough time in saying the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name to be able to think through that idea. Ahoy over here. And the Achakach Chasam, later on, Rabbi Yonah writes, V'chol pa'am ba'az kiro, Shem HaMiyuchad, Yach Shavo Perish Kriyos. Every time you say Shem HaMiyuchad, you got to think through the pshat of the way you pronounce it. Adnos, Shu Adon HaKol. That is the language of Rabbi Yonah. So Vilna Gaon makes an important diuk, which maybe you see. Does the Shulchan Aruch correspond to Rabbi Yonah? Is there a difference? What's the difference? Right. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Vilna Gaon says, it's true that Rabbi Yonah mentioned having kavanah for Havaya, that Kadosh Baruch was eternal, and having kavanah for the fact that he runs the world, I don't recall, but he didn't mention them in the same breath. He said, whenever you say Hashem's name, you got to say, think about Adnos, that Kadosh Baruch runs the world. He said, when you're saying Kriya Shema, you got to think about Havaya, Yasha Koach. The Vilna Gaon says, this is again, next time you learn the second part of the Brachas, you'll spend some time on the sugya of Kavanah and Pasuk Rishon. There is a unique din of Kavanah and Kriya Shema. Specific Kavanah's Pasuk Rishon is different than Kavanah in mitzvahs in general. The Vilna Gaon said, yeah, part of saying Kriya Shema, part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is to think about Hayah over here. But that's not every single time you say Hashem's name throughout the day. That's four times a day. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu in the morning, and then at night, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu. But the other thousand times you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, not mechayev to think about Havaya, you're only mechayev to think about Adnos. Mashma Sham, She'ein Tzarech Lachshov, Ela Perish Kriyasa. Normally, you only have to think about Adnos, Rak B'Kriya Shema. By Kriyashma, Sheshon Beit Hashem was Morino, Hayah over here. By Kriyashma, you have to think about the notion of Havaya as well. Vechein Iker, the third line, Be'er Gra, Vechein Iker, Pi Omek Adim. He says, and that's the way it ought to be. As Pashup Pshat, according to Omek Adim, the profundity of the din, what do you mean? Ki have the Ko Hochin Achar HaKriya. We always follow the Kriya. The way things are written, the deep Kabbalah, and the Vilna Gaon is one who is in a position to speak about deep Kabbalah. And Halacha Moshe, we see that. But here, Halacha Nachar Kriya, Benikudasa. And then he gets into some grammatical issues, which I will spare you because, unfortunately, not all of you have yet grown to appreciate grammar. But he has a riot from the way you attack what Nukuda, you put on a prefix that you attach to Shem Hashem. Do you say Ve Hashem? Do you say Va Hashem? Do you attach a Beis? So you could see that the primary aspect of the word is the Kriya. So speaks. So says the Vilna Gaon. And he has more ayahs and more ayahs. And then at the end he gets into Kabbalah. Okay. You should be zeicher one day to be able to learn, be equipped to learn the Vilna Gaon. This Vilna Gaon until the very end, with all the sodos and that lomim that he talks about at the end. But for right now, we'll stick to pshat and drash. So this Vilna Gaon is fascinating. This Vilna Gaon is incredibly important halacha maisa. It's frightening, as I said before, how halacha maisa this is. And machlek is machaber and Vilna Gaon, whether you have to have two kavanos every time you say Hashem's name or one kavanah. Halavai, we should have any kavanah. But again, let's never remember halacha maisa. You can make like the Vilna Gaon. This time you can make like the Vilna Gaon. Halavai usually said one kavanah. That kavanah should be adon hakol. Not that hard. This is doable. I said, when we say Akash Baruch's name, take practice. The game is a habit, the game is saying Akash Baruch's name. Remember, if we call him Ado, that's because he runs the universe. He's a power that runs the entire universe. He powers the entire universe. He's involved in our lives, he's involved in the whole universe. That's what you're supposed to think about when you say Hashem's name. When you'll be older and wiser, you want to be Machshon Mechaber, you'll add the Kavanah of Havai also. But coming back, so that's halacha l'maisa. But then what's also fascinating is this Vilna Gaon, coming back to our sugya, well, what's going on with Vilna Gaon? He just makes a sharp, solid statement, we follow the Kriya, not the Ksiva. Period. Wow. Wow. Really? Really? Remarkable. Is that Yeshem Mamikr? It's actually a little strange he didn't even mention Yeshem Mamikr, Yeshem Lasar. Isn't this not Rosh HaSugya? Or is it? Is it? Is there a Sugya according to the Pietosis? Is there a Sugya according to your aim? Or isn't it? It's a little strange. Vilna Gaon should have said, it would have been classic Vilna Gaon style to say, Kidiisa Sanhedrin Dalad Sukkah Vav. No? Anything? Yeshem Look at Yeshem Mosaurus. Garnished. Nothing. All of his riyas, by the way, if you read the grammar, all of his riyas are specifically from this shame Ado. No riyas from any other words. This you sowed that we're going to follow the Kriya over the Ksiva. Yeah, what do you say?
Benny Jacob, Yedidya Schefter, and Zevi Cohen, please come to Elihert's office now. Benny Jacob, Zevi Cohen, Yedidya Schefter, and actually Yonathan Ganser also, please come to Elihert's office now.
No.
Isn't the difference that by our studio we're trying to figure out whether or not we could be Dorish in front of the thought, but over here we're trying to figure out what connotation do we get to think about from the Kriya and the Ksiva. So we say, says that you're supposed to understand the way you say it. You say Ado Nakol. But in terms of trying to understand the drasha that we get, whether Sukkot is one or two, that's a drasha. That's not how we think about the word.
Good. So you're saying it doesn't have to be necessarily only the Urim, but certainly the Urim sensitized us. The Urim sensitized us to thinking about the fact that Avada, they're all meaningful, but they might not all be meaningful in level of drash. They're saying, so this is a separate issue. Here, when I talk about drash, here we're talking about lechor pshat. Yeah, good. Very good. Yeah, what do you want to say? Same thing. Kavalik. Yeah? They have to compete with a power song.
If we're saying, like then we plug it back in close, we can say that according to Pshat, so then I have a case of mixed Shad down there, and then I have to choose that to be as far as the Mera Grah, that I now have to pick either the Grah or the or stop here. So that's why I go with that. Ashley goes tomorrow, who says that I don't have to pick either the Grah or stop mixed Shad down there, I can really think about it.
You're addressing the question of what's Vasketan Machlokas between Mahaber and Gon. Yeah, interesting. Right, the question though is if you're going to tell me that in a Hanami the Vilna Gaon really is Mamish, like Tosis Ram, Mikhja, Dadin, we have to invoke, but then he Taka should have invoked it. Now, how come the Vilna Gaon is trying to make this point, and this is all over Shas, so the question, well, how come why didn't he say Shem Mikhja Shem Lazarus? It would have been very Groh-esque. You would have expected the Groh to say it. So I agree. If you think that he's not mentioning it, but that's what he means, so then, you know, that could be the machlokes between him and the Mechaber. it's a little bothersome that he would have. It would have been the Vilna Gaon style if that mentioned it. So it could be what he's saying is once we're seeing a pshat rash, it's very different. This is not the same issue. Or Ephraim, suggestion? Another suggestion? What do you say, Yehuda? You seem.
I don't understand
what's up. Noah was saying that once you recognize that Yeshema Mikashema Masores, Tosis already said Yeshema Mikashema Masores doesn't mean that we reject one entirely. We usually would even darshan both, but sometimes we can't darshan both, so we have to figure out which one we darshan. Right? And then the Urim takes a step further and says, it's just a question, even that question is not really a question of which is more important per se. It's a question of which one is more out of the ordinary in this particular case, and therefore is going to be the focus of drasha. Because that which sticks out is that which we're going to darshan. Whereas here, we're not talking about medrash halacha, here we're actually talking about what's pshat. And the Vilna Gaon said, and Vilna did also say, they're both meaningful. Al Pisoy, there's a lot going on, but in terms of Pshat, so he's saying, Pshat, we're going to follow, it's not a question of how to darshan. It's a question of Pshat. Yeah, there's one more, at least one more angle here. Yeah, what do you want to say?
I just feel like, I don't know, not really respond to Z, but kind of respond to Z. I don't really think that the Grah could fit in with Tosfos, because Tosfos is saying that Masoras and Mikra are both very prevalent. It's just when they're mafish one another, so then you pick one. Whether you pick Mikra or Masoras, whoever, depends on the time. But the Grah just seems to say it's a blanket statement, we never care about the Masoras. He just seems to say, Beitzarach l'hara klala k'siva. Even though the k'siva has some meaning. So I'm not sure if that can really fit with Tosfos.
Tosfos
doesn't seem to be saying something
that's
strong.
Right. That's true. Vilna Gaon does seem, I agree, you're making a very good point. Vilna Gaon does seem like he's really almost against that sort of opening sort of Tosfos. Avada we accept both, and Avada we want to darshan both if we could. And you're saying it sounds almost as though he's saying, no, Ksav is just, you know, Kabbalah. So, in terms of basics, all I care about is Kriya. Yeah, so what may be going on with that, and we'll close with this, we're playing to Chazar now, and then we'll end the morning with, can't not learn any Rambans on Parsha discussion. That would be criminal, I think. There is one more angle on this Vilna Gaon, which really raises an issue that might have lingered in the back of our minds as we're learning the Sukkah of Yeshem, which is Yeshem Masoras, and shouldn't. And this Vilna Gaon, that means why this Vilna Gaon does not fit with Mikra Masoras, is what the Vilna Gaon might be talking about is the question of Kriyuk Sif. Because here it's not a question of a little bit of a different spelling. This is, these are two different words. So much so, I leave you to the shortest Briskarav in the Sefer Rambam is about this topic. It's like a kernel of an idea. He doesn't fully develop. He said the Machlek is Rambam and Gaonim, but then why the applications of Rishon Feinstein they apply to, of course, Bisharab. Rishon Feinstein talks about similar ideas more broadly. I once heard Rashi give a shiur many years ago where he applied that Vilna Gaon to the Rishon Feinstein and to this Lachos Machaber Vilna Gaon. What would you do, Rishon Feinstein wants to know, if a drop of wax fell on the Shein Yud Kei Vav Kei in a Sefer Torah? Number one, if wax falls out of Sefer Torah on Shabbos, it could be dangerous, not so posh you could peel it off, and it ends up erasing letters. Again, maybe it's Dov Shem Eskavin, you gotta figure that out. But certainly, if it falls on Shein Hashem, you don't want to risk erasing, even during the week, erasing Shein Hashem. Now, if a drop of wax falls on a Sefer Torah, the letters below, we don't have wax candles on top of our bima, but once upon a time, you had the chandelier on top of the bima so you could see the Sefer Torah. But if the candle is a little bit tilted, now you have some drips. So if wax falls on the Sefer Torah, it doesn't make the Sefer Torah bustle underneath. If the Sefer Torah is rolled up, also you can't see the letters. The letters are still there. So presumably, if wax falls on the Sefer Torah is still kosher, except that you can't read that letter. So if I'm right late, it's kosher for any other part of Chumash except for this. Because I have to read every word in Tochak Sav. Okay, so it falls in the word Mishpatim. So you'll peel away the wax. Maybe not Shabbos. Really, you peel away the wax. Hopefully it comes off smoothly. If you need to, you'll be masaking the letters. Okay, you get it, so you'll fix the letters for your next Shabbos. But I can't name it right now until I get the wax off. It falls on Shem Hashem. Now what? So Moshe Feinstein writes, well, if it falls, let's say it falls on a Kriya Ksiv. He says, no problem. There's nothing to read. What are you reading? It says, Yishagelna. But we read Yishkaven. Two different words. So Moshe says, you don't have to look at the Ksiv and read the Kriya. It's not the same word. Nothing to read. If the Kriya, if the Ksiv is covered by wax, that's fine. How about Shem Yukevavke is covered by wax? Is it a Kriya Ksiv? Or is it not? Well, that may be what's going on with the Vilna Gaon and Prescribe also. And the Vilna Gaon and Mechaber also. But the Vilna Gaon may be drawing that specifically is not just Kriya Ksiv, where it's like slightly different. Sukho, Sukhas is an awkward spelling, but Mamish, two different words. And to make a longer story short, Prescribe thinks that there already is such a Machlokas out there between the Rambam and the Gaonim. What's the relationship between the spelling and pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei? Do I see that as Mamash like Kriya Ksiv? You write Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you say Aleph Dal Nun Yud. Is it just the most common Kriya Ksiv in Tanakh? And that might be the way the Vilna Gaon is looking at it. Kriya versus Ksiva, Kriya Ksiv. Or the way Mechaber looks at it, or the way the Rambam looks at it, according to the Prescribe. No. That's the way you there's a non-phonetic pronunciation if you give up this. There's a different way to pronounce this word, but it's the same word. Kriyuk Siv is not the same as Yeshem Lekishem Lasaurus. Yeshem Lekishem, this is what we wrap up with. Yeshem Lekishem Lasaurus, to have a word, and spell is a little bit funny, the pronunciation is a little bit funny, you have to figure out, but it's clearly the same word. The question is, which reading, which aspect of the word do I highlight when I darshan it? Either that's a global issue, according to Taisvis, or it's a local specific issue, according to the Rei, that you're going to cheshbon based on the specifics of this particular spell and this particular pronunciation. Yeah. And that's why, and now I'll come back to a note to what Ziv said before. I'd like to bring back what Ziv said, because the Mechaber would say, this is Gevaldik, I have a word. It has one way of being spelled, different way of being pronounced. Fundamentally, it's the same word. And it's lo mikhashiya dadi. There's nothing wrong with having two kavanas. They're not contradictory kavanas. They're different kavanas. Different aspects of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Mechaber says, I have a toisvis. Mikhashiya, lo mikhashiya dadi. You accept both the mikra and the masores. And what the Vilna Gaon might be saying is, no, this isn't the yeshem, lekeshem, masores. So, of course, accept both if you can, like Lechem Oni, like Yita Yuta. No! This is Kriya Ksiv land. These are not two different words. You write a different one. It's not two aspects of one word where I could handle which aspect am I going to darsh, which aspect am I going to give precedence to. As Noam said, look, two aspects of the same word, Avada, we accept both in terms of meaningfulness, even in terms of drasha, as he pointed out, that we would darsh. And so in terms of pshat, we should definitely be accepting both. And that's what the Mechaber says. And the Vilna Gaon says, no, this is a sugi in the darim. This is Kriya Ksiv. Kriya Ksiv is not Mikra Masoros. Kriya Ksiv is a whole other level, because that's mamish two different words. Allah Chavosh means Sinai. In this case, you write this word, you read that word. So that's what the Vilna Gaon is speaking about. Kriya Ksiv, we always follow the pshat and drash, follow the Kri, not the Ksiv. The Ksiv is Kabbalah, as he said, but the Kri is what we work with al derech niglet. Our sugya is not quite Kri Ksiv. Our sugya is where you have a word which has a funny spelling. It's a little awkward, but it's clearly the same word. It's a single word. Kri Ksiv is two different words that got sandwiched together. One is written, the other one is said. If a single word with a wrinkle, a single word with some anomaly in Chumash, and that's what the Chazal are handling, which one is more, both of them are, it's the same word. Both aspects of the word are meaningful for sure, and in terms of Jerusha, ideally I'll darshan both. If not, I'm going to have to figure out which one to darshan, based on whatever it is that's driving Yeshem Mikra, Yeshem Masoris, whether it's Tosis' global issues, or the Reim's local issue.